And we pray that you will also stay and enjoy a meal with us.
Amen.
Amen. We like that the fact that Scripture covers everything. The Scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. God likes you to experience in him with all of your various senses, with all the senses that you have to experience him. Amen.
Amen.
Without any further delay, we're going to ask for our deacons to come. We have a few verses we wanted to share with you today. And they're going to be in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter number 26, verses 1 to 4. And then also in the New Testament, 1 John, that's what we call Little John. That's not the big Gospel of John, but Little John, back by Revelation, chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Amen. We ask you to give your attention as the deacons come, and they're going to grab a microphone here and read the inerrant word of God, and we'll ask you to stand if you're able during the reading of the word. Amen.
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 And Isaiah 46 chapters. From that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city.
Yeah.
Salvation will God appoint for walls and boards. Open ye the gate, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee.
Yes.
Because he has trusted in thee.
Yes.
Trust ye in the Lord forever.
Yes.
For in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength.
Oh, amen. Yes.
Amen. 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 We give God a blessing and thank him for his holy and inerrant word. Now for the New Testament scripture reading.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And we want to use for a topic for our message today, God's powerful prescription for peace. Amen. Now, most of us have been to the doctor or hospital and we have received a prescription. And basically, we know how that works. Sometimes they give you stuff for different things to try to heal a situation, or at least to take away the pain of a situation, or some kind of a way to put a fix on us when we have needs one way or another. Now, I want to say that somebody said that there was enough medicine, more medicine in the hem of Jesus' garment than they have in all the Walgreens stores on all the planet Earth. Because remember, there was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she was stuck out. There was big crowds all around Jesus at that time. And she was in the back somewhere and wondering, how can I ever just get up there close enough to touch him? Remember that? And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, that I should be healed. And she had been doubled over in pain with an issue of blood for 12 years. And so she pressed her way through the crowd, all bent over double, until she could finally get close enough just to touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, who touched me? He could feel that she touched him. And the apostle said, oh, that's ridiculous, Lord. Everybody touching you everywhere. You know, look at all these thousands of people around you. What you mean, who touched you? He said, no, somebody touched me. This woman touched him with her faith. And he said, virtue went out of me into that woman. Because she had faith. She knew the moment that I touched Jesus, if I could just touch him, then I'll be healed. And so there's a lot of power in what God offers for me and you. And so what we're going to have here today, in another way of speaking, is a powerful prescription for peace. God wants to write you a prescription for peace in your life. There's a lot of things on earth that trouble your mind. And I don't know about you. Maybe some of y'all don't have the kind of problems I have. So I'm going to speak for myself. Sometimes things get into your life that that break your peace. You can't, you want to rest, you want to just go through life and have everything be okay, but stuff keeps on coming in, causing issues where you have to have stuff to worry about, stuff to try to figure out. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to take care of this or that? People who need help and all these kind of things and different troubling situations. Sometimes there's threats against your employment and whether I'm going to be able to continue on in my job. Will I have what I need to make ends meet? There's a lot of different things in life that threaten you, that steal your peace. And so simply put, I would say that the world is filled with many troubling situations and negative circumstances that tend to attack our minds, emotions, even our bodies. Sometimes we get wore down trying to deal with something and they thwart our peace, making it very difficult for many to dwell with a consistent and abiding term of peace. Seems like if peace comes, it doesn't last long. Next thing you know, here comes some bad news or a bill I didn't know was going to be this much or something comes along, you see, to try to steal your peace. And so these things happen. And when that happens, it creates stress, anxiety, disillusionment, grief, sometimes even depression. Many of us get depressed. And a host of other undesirable conditions that are many times overwhelming. A person can become overwhelmed with so much going on. And they are, these are the exact opposite of what the Bible refers to as peace. There's an old Hebrew word that means the same thing as the English word peace. That's shalom. You may have heard that. That's the Hebrew word for peace. The Greek word is eirene. That's the same word. All of those are equivalent. They mean the same thing. And it's not the absence of a bunch of junk, but it is the presence of God in your life that really gives you peace. Now, this is what I want you to know today. And this is the prescription that God has for you. How can you have peace when all this stuff is going every which way all the time? And it's at random. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know when the phone is going to ring 1 or 2 in the morning with some kind of a crazy news or somebody died or this or that or the other, or somebody's in distress. We hear about it all the time. So how do God's people reach out and touch the hem of his garment and get that peace that passes all understanding? It can break yokes in your life. It can repair sickness in your body. Sometimes people are sick because they worried themselves sick. You see what I mean? So a lot of stuff can trouble you. But God has a powerful prescription for your peace, and we want to give this to you today. So when you leave St. Timothy, you can say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I got what I need. My needs are met. I've been fixed. That's all we need. We want to know, what can I take? What was it in that woman's mind when she was walking through the crowd? She's walking through. She's trying to find her way to Jesus. She understood Jesus was God in the flesh. He had healed the sick, raised the dead. He walked on water. He had fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 small fish, the Bible says. So took a little boy's lunch and fed everybody. And then they picked up 12 baskets when it was all done. And there was a basket for everybody. You see what I'm saying? Even Judas who betrayed him, had a basket of fragments left over. So God was not partial to anybody. Didn't make any difference who you are, what's in your heart. God loves you just like you are. See? And he has made a way for everybody. The Bible says it's not his desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants everyone to be saved. He loves you just like you are. You know what? The devil wants you to think just the opposite. This is how he steals your peace. He said, well, you know what you did. And he'll see you get in your mind. You know what you did. You know, God, don't go for that. Then you start to feel guilt and shame. So that's how the devil works. But God says, I will give you perfect peace. I'm going to show it to you. Let's look right here in the Word. I want you to see this. He says, I got a prescription for your peace. It's going to give you peace even in times of trouble. Now, God is not condoning us when we do wrong stuff, but he does understand we have a conflict and a problem in our lives, and he has a way to fix it. Notice the prophet Isaiah. This is called the Song of Isaiah, Isaiah 26, which is our text for the Old Testament. It says, in that day shall this song be sung. Now, let me just put a pin right there. Sometimes when you're feeling down and out, you know, the best thing you can do is tell the devil, forget you, buddy. I'm going to put on a song of praise. I'm going to lift up the name of God. I'm going to have, and you know what, I do this myself when I'm riding down the road. I turn on some praise. It helps me forget about how people are driving. It wrecks my nerves. So I put some praise on it, and I'll be over there in my own worship service riding down the road. Because people can get on your nerves on the road. I know maybe y'all don't have that problem. Y'all don't see nobody saying amen. But it's possible that folk can irritate you the way they drive. So what I do, and I tell you, I'll be kind of making my way through, too. I might be irritating somebody, too, truth be told. But the fact is, I know how to put a song on and start to praise the Lord. If you get into praise, you can kind of forget about the other stuff. Don't not pay attention to where you are and do nothing dangerous. But praise the Lord. Get that song in your heart. That's what Isaiah has said here. Notice this. He says, in that day, speaking of a day of trouble, will this song be sung in the land of Judah. Now, this is, Judah is a land where God's people, Israel, had lived. He says, we are a strong city. Salvation will appoint walls and bulwarks. That word salvation in the Hebrew is Yeshua. That's the name of Jesus. Jesus is salvation. And so they translated salvation here because it would have been strange right there in the translation to put Jesus, but it's true. Jesus is salvation. Those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, the Bible said. So he said, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint. It's not that we deserve it, but he will appoint it to your life. For walls, that's a way to protect you from foolishness and the arrows of the darts of the enemy coming in on you. He'll build walls and hedges around you to protect you. And you sing that song of praise to the Lord. It'll be a bulwark. That's like a strong, fortified wall to break up problems like in wars. They build a bulwark to keep the enemies from throwing arrows and darts and things in that would come in and damage you. So God will put a gird of protection around you as you sing his praise. So many times we saw that in the Bible. We saw where God sent the priest to go out around the walls of Jericho. They said, Lord, how are we going to overtake that city? The wall is so wide you can ride several chariots side by side on top of the wall. How are we going to get in there, Lord? He said, just take the trumpets and go around and praise me as you go around. Blow the trumpets for 7 days. And they came around blowing the trumpets, going around the walls of Jericho. They were giving God praise. And as they blew the trumpets, the people was up there from Jericho going, here they come. What are they going to do? And they kept on going. And they looked and they saw and they were gone. They said, wow. So the second day came around, same thing. Here they come. What are they going to do? They thought they might have weapons. All they had was the shofar, which was a trumpet, blowing the trumpets, going around the walls of Jericho. They did this for 7 days, 6 days in a row. On the seventh day, they went around 7 times. By now, the people of Jericho thought, oh, what a joke. Here they come again, praising God, blowing a bunch of horns. Are these people crazy? Now, somebody might think you're crazy to do the praising God. But you know what? They don't know. God has given me a prescription for peace. And I got peace in my soul so I can praise the Lord, lift up his name. He's given me an interior peace that passes all understanding. You don't even need to have to try to figure it out. You know, they'll think you're nuts. You start praising God. But you know what? You're going to find out I'm getting refreshing from the Lord. The Lord is filling me with what I need. He's taking away the worry out of my mind. I'm praising him and singing it because he is working on my behalf all the time. He understands everything I'm going through. He understands what troubles me, what bothers me, what kind of stuff I would just sit and maybe lose my mind if I didn't have enough sense to give him some praise. And so basically right here, Isaiah said they're going to praise God in the strong city and salvation God will appoint for walls and a bulwark. If you break that down, it means I'm going to cover you with Jesus, that word salvation, as you give me praise. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter. Don't worry about it when somebody closes doors in your face. God say, I'm going to open some doors that no man can shut, and I'm going to shut some doors that no man can open. I thank God so much for some doors he shut in my life. He said, that's it. That's a done deal. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Sometimes we get a door shut and we feel like something's been taken from us. We wanted to go through. God says, get away from that shut door. I got a door I'm going to open for you to go through because I'm opening up new ways of a highway in the desert. I can open up a highway through the Red Sea if I need to bring you through. So just trust me. Have faith in me. believe in me, praise me, sing to my name. Understand that I have grace, and this is my prescription for your peace. If you know I got your back, what are you worried about? God says, I got your back. I know what you're going through. You know what? I'm glad he doesn't have my back because of my personal purity level. If I had to do that, I'd be in trouble. I don't know about you. Maybe y'all live better than me. I guess I'm going to have to keep that one to myself.
Amen.
Y'all don't have no issues where you have stuff going through your mind shouldn't be there. Have situations in your life that shouldn't be there. You don't want it there sometimes, but it's there. And so I need God to have grace. I need him to have mercy. And he said that he does have grace and mercy. He even said this. He said, surely goodness and mercy, what, shall follow me all the days of my life. David said, right in Psalm 23, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. I know my destination. Why? Because I know my Redeemer lives. I know that God loves me. So find a way to give him praise in the middle of whatever you're doing. You know what? I have to praise him because some of the stuff that could have happened didn't happen. It could be way worse. You know, we don't ever think about that. What you're going through, it could be way worse. But God has held it back, and you've only gotten what you can handle. And God will always fix you up and give him praise. Remember to praise him in the middle of whatever you're going through. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Now, it's the truth that we need mercy from God. It's the truth that God has provided mercy. He gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him will not perish. That's the proclamation that we call the gospel. I get happy about the gospel. It's good news that God loved me so much and you, not just me. He loved you so much, he gave his son, Jesus, to be crucified. He allowed the debt that we owe God to fall on his son so that he could bless us with his very best. He gave us his very best to start the relationship with us. Now, what do you think? You think he's going to hold back something that's less? What do you think is worth more to God than his son, Jesus? Nothing, I guarantee you. If I ask you, which would you give, your son or your house? Everybody would say, I wouldn't give my son. Take the house if it's got to be my son or my house. So everything else you need, God already has given you his best. He gave you his son. He didn't hold back Jesus from you. He allowed him to come into the world, be misunderstood, crucified on the cross. So we have nothing to do but give him praise. Isaiah said, in this day, in that day shall this song be sung in Judah. We have a strong city. I'm backing up. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. He'll cover me on every side. Open ye the gates. God can open anything that's been closed to you in your life. That the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. The truth is, the only way we could be called righteous is by God's grace. And if you trust him, he declares you righteous. Notice this, he says, notice, and we got to get here, this is where we want to be, verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust God. Don't let the smooth taste fool you, somebody said on the commercial. Trust God, no matter what you're going through. Doesn't make no difference what you're going through. God knows about it. If he allowed it, there's a benefit in it for you. And you're going to come out giving him praise. Trust him through everything you go through. A lot of times people like to blame God rather than trust God and realize that what we're getting is less than what we should be getting. As far as anything from God, he should be giving me judgment. But he decided to give his son so I don't have to. So I can bless a wretch like this one, no matter what he has done. Now, I'm not saying this is any excuse for me to do wrong, but even when I'm trying to do my best, maybe you don't have a problem like this. You find yourself coming up short. You know, and it's not that I want to come up short. You know what? I don't come up short as often as I used to. I'm getting better where I can start to do right more than I do wrong. I'm getting better because God is blessing me and he's opening up doors for me that I can go through. He's shutting some doors I don't need to go through anymore. He's making new ways for me to do things in life. And all I want to do is praise him. Give him praise. And he said, I'll give you peace Now think about this. Meditation is what is implied here in Isaiah 26 and 3. He says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Notice it says thou. Who is that? That's God. God is going to keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him. That's the devil's trick. Get your mind off of God. Let you think you in this by yourself. What you going through, you're going through by yourself. God has abandoned you. That's what the devil will tell you. The flesh will say, yes, he has. And you'll have a pity party going with the flesh and the devil. But God would never abandon you. That's the thing I want you to know. And keep your mind on what God said. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to the flesh. Don't listen to anybody. The world. The world will tell you there is no God. But you better trust in God with all your heart. The Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Keep him in your mind. Whatever you're going through, don't buy into what the world and the devil and even your own flesh have to say. So he says, thou, meaning God, will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. See, trust God no matter what you do. Same thing that the proverb says there. Trust ye in the Lord forever. That means there is no time when I don't trust God. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. God is going to give you strength. Now that's a prescription, not only just a prescription, but it's a powerful prescription for peace. You can have peace no matter what you do. Practice it and watch and see what happens. Now moving on, Isaiah the prophet wrote this song, which is an excellent vehicle for ushering in the mindset of faith. He wants you to have an abiding faith in God all the time. When trouble comes, sing praise to God. When trouble comes, realize it's only coming to test you and make you stronger. That's the only reason God allows difficult things in your life. But God promised that he would work all things together for good to them who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28 says, I'm working everything, even the stuff you don't, but it's difficult for you, that you have trouble dealing with. I'm working it all. Sickness, I'm working it for your good. Whatever it is, doesn't make any difference. Grief, suffering, pain, all of it in your life, I'm still God. And if you think about it, he allowed Jesus to be subjected to all of those things. And Jesus was perfect. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. Even though he was perfect, the Bible says he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. The Son of God had no flaw, no impurity, no imperfection at all. He was perfect. The Bible says even though he was a son, he was the God in the flesh, God the Son. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. You and I learn from the processes that we go through. And if we could just learn to stay in faith, praise God no matter what you do, realize that what he's given me or what he's allowing is not as bad as it should be if the truth was told. No, he's given me less than what I deserve. He's blessing me anyway, in spite of the fact the Bible says the wages for sin is death. But he hasn't put me to death. He has loved me with an everlasting love. He gave his son to make sure I have a perfect account with him. Did you realize that? Your account is perfect with God if you trust in Jesus. That's the only way it can be perfect, is trust in Jesus. Now notice what John says. This is where we get twisted up, and I'm almost done. In John chapter, 1 John, I should say, chapter 2, verse 15, here's the problem. He said, love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Stuff sometimes gets you and I messed up. Because we worry more about some stuff. You know what I noticed about stuff? I'm going to do a Joan Rivers right now. Can we talk? You know what I noticed about stuff? I've seen people have a whole lot of it. They stacked it up real high. And then they passed away. And guess what happened to the stuff? It was still sitting there. So why do we get hung up like that? Why do we get hung up on stuff? You know, it's an interesting thing. Stuff is what causes robberies and all kinds of stuff. People do bad stuff over things instead of trusting God to give you what you need. So it's kind of, as the Bible says, the love of money, it's not the money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Every one of them is connected to the love of money. That's why people do wrong. Money is not evil. Money is necessary. God wants you to have plenty of it. But he wants you to have the money, and he doesn't want the money to have you. If you can have the money, he's okay with that, because you're going to use it to bless other people. You're going to use it to be blessed and to be a blessing. Remember what he told Abraham? He told him, get out of your country, away out of your father's house, away from your kindred. And I will, he said, go to a land and I will show you, and I will make your name great. And he says, and I will bless him that blesses you, and curse him who curses you. And he says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He says, you shall be a blessing. God said, I want to make you a blessing. That's what he's doing to me and you. He makes us into a blessing for somebody else. Why? You want to know why? Why would God make me to a blessing for somebody else? You know why? Because he wants to use his goodness in your life to reach somebody else who's kind of hard-headed like I used to be. And when you treat me nice, it's like, wow, why are they treating me nice? There's something attractive about being treated nice when you don't deserve it. Something pretty attractive about that. So God would like to make all of us understand who he is so that we can bless somebody else that doesn't deserve it. And when they see that mercy, they'll go, boy, that's different. You know, Brother Tate didn't kick me to the curb when I asked him for something. He blessed me. He was generous toward me. See, and that's attractive because somebody else will say, get going, you turkey. And they'll talk about you like a dog, kick you to the curb. But those who are saved, God has given you a generous blessing in your life so you can share it with somebody else so they can see his goodness, his mercy, and his glory coming through you. You know what? If you praise in God, everybody else is coming unglued. There's something attractive about that. Now, why in the world is Vern over there praising God and she ought to be upset? You know, why is that sister over there, you know, praising the Lord? It looked like she ought to be coming undone. The boss just told her she got to work on an extra hard job at work. You know, and sometimes you just say, okay, fine. God ordained it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You go on with a good attitude. And it makes you attractive to other people. And you know what? It will foster a conversation. They may ask you, how could you keep your head in the middle of all that you went through? And the answer is because you'll tell them then, you'll say, well, God is my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Lord. So it gives you a way to express who you are and what God has done for you. So notice this. John says, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. In other words, don't love them more than you love God. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See? And notice this. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, trusting in God is really the key to everything. The Apostle John teaches us with great simplicity, the sources of such anxiety. The reason we get anxious and have all this pressure is we have too much attachment to worldly stuff. That stuff should just be a blessing to you so you can share it with others. And God can see the glory. Other people will see the glory of God through your life if they watch how God has blessed you and the way you carry yourself. So the Apostle John teaches us with great simplicity of such anxieties. This is how we get down to the root of the source of lost peace. We have too much concern about worldly matters. He identifies the things that continue to press fallen mankind deeper into traps of the world, the flesh, and the devil. See, that's how you get hung up. You get hung up in the stuff. And you don't understand God loves you, everything you have. God gave it to you. And he can bless you with even more. You know what? If we didn't worry, I always ask people, who does worry go to? And nobody's ever given me a good answer. Then I say, well, wouldn't it be better not to worry? How about to pray? If you have something that bothers you, why don't you talk to God about it? That's why Jesus said the man ought to always pray and not faint. Don't give up. Keep praying. Ask God about it. Something I don't understand, Lord, help me understand that. And I'm going to praise you anyway, whether I understand it or I don't. When God gives you a difficult assignment, think how difficult that was for Abraham to leave everything he knew. His inheritance from his family and the crops and the lands and all the stuff that he had. But he trusted God. The Bible says, Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness.
See, so when you believe God, guess what? It's counted to you for righteousness. God declares you righteous, even though you're not. You know what? Abraham made a lot of mistakes. He didn't do everything perfect. But it wasn't because he was doing things perfect that God blessed him. It's because I love you just like you are. God loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. When you have a relationship with him, you're going to find out he loves me, and I'm going to learn how to love him back. And I show my love for him by how I love others. See, and that's what it is. It's all about love. God loves you just like you are. You want to teach it to your children. Today, so many things militate against what children understand, that we're going to have a generation of people. That's why there's so much violence and all that. And people think the solution is something fleshly or worldly. It isn't. The solution is get people back to God, back to the cross. They need to understand God gave his son. Why did God do that? Think about it. I'm almost done. He gave a hideous example. Jesus crucified on the cross. That's the ugliest thing I can think of. God the Son in the flesh came into the world, never did anything wrong to anyone at any time. Never a deceitful word came out of his mouth at any time. Everything he did was good and to bless somebody. Healing the sick, raising the dead, stilling a storm, taking away fear from people who were fearful about what was going on in their life. They went and woke Jesus up. He went down in the bottom of the ship and went to sleep. And the storm came up on the sea, and the boat was being tossed to and fro. And he went down, "Master, don't you care that we're perishing? Get up from there." Go wake up Jesus. Jesus was sleeping on a pillow, the Bible says. You know what he did? He got up, looked at them like, "Okay, you guys. I don't know what he said. I'm not able to say." But he went and spoke to the wind and the waves. He said, "Peace, be still." Imagine that hurricane we just saw down there, Matthew, coming in on the sea. And Jesus stand up, "Stop it right now." And a placid sea. They said, "Wow, boy, they're more scared of him than they were of the storm." Like, what kind of man is this? Who can do that? Speak to the wind and the waves. And they obey him. See, that's what we're dealing with. He is God. God loves you. Understand that. Just like you are. He loves you too much to leave you like you are, because he wants to make you better than you are. And once you trust him and believe him, he'll come in your life and make everything different. He said, "Whoever trusts in me, I'll make all things new. I'll give you what you need." And Jesus, think about the cross again. We're trying to go back there, and I'm about done. He said, that was the ugliest thing that ever happened. God came in the flesh to prove that he was God, and man found him guilty. Find you guilty, crucify you. The good news is God had written it in the word already. Hundreds of years before, he prophesied that this would happen. "They pierced my hands and my feet," Psalms 22, written by David. "That my own good friend has raised his heel against me," speaking about Judas betraying him. All these things were written in there. There were hundreds of prophecies that were fulfilled, and they crucified Jesus. He told them before they crucified him, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." See? And they lifted him up on the cross. He was hung between heaven and earth, the only mediator. It was a perfect spot because he was representing God on the top. And he was representing man on the bottom. And he was in the middle, the connector between God and man. Whoever, the Bible says, believes in him. In other words, I trust him for my salvation. I hope that's you. Many of you, I know that that's you. But if you're here today and you have one inkling of doubt in your mind about how salvation is given, it's given by God's grace only. Nobody ever earned or deserved to be saved. Some people who knew me a long time ago, they walk in, they almost have a stroke back there on the back row. "What? You? Stuff I know, I've seen you do? Oh, no, how could you be preaching?" And the fact is, it's all by God's grace. It's by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And when you believe that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says, you shall be saved. You know what he'll do? He'll put that song in your heart Isaiah was talking about. That'll give you peace in the midst of a storm. Amen. He'll do it. Nobody else can do it. So if you're here today, we want to invite you to make sure you know Christ. That's why the church exists. This is our highest honor to share the good news, which we call the gospel, with whoever. The Bible says whosoever believes in him. That's anyone. You know, a lot of people today are into twisted doctrine. They're trying to say black people are the Hebrews and all this. Well, what difference does it make? And if it is true, let's assume that's true. Okay, But God said, preach the gospel to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. Whosoever will, let him come. There's one way for the world to be saved, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you ever think about time is centered around Jesus, no one else? It's 2016 because Christ was born about 2016 years ago. Not true of anybody else. So God did that because he wanted to make sure the focal point of salvation is the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son shall not see life, and the wrath of God abides upon him. So God has made Jesus Christ the Son the focal point of salvation. So if you're here today and you've never trusted him, and you'd like to make sure that you are saved, we want to invite you to come at this time. May I ask the church to stand at this time? Everybody stand. We want to make it easy for anyone who wants to come. Come right now. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's a promise from God. That's what I have done. And I want to say this. I was extremely wretched when I came into the church. I'm still wretched. Let me say that. I'm going to go ahead and add that in. The Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Romans 7:24. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We have stuff working in us that's still wretched, even though you're saved. But it's not contingent on your purity level. It's contingent on your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, and you know what? I'm less wretched than I used to be. My wife might argue against us. Well, I don't know about that. Sometimes I'm still pretty bad. And I'm trying to be a better husband, and I'm working on that. That's a real hard one. And but that's the way it is. And he is able, and I'm going to pray it on being a better one. See? And so I thank God for my wife. She has helped me a whole lot in so many things. And she has been just a blessing all the time we've been together. We just celebrated our 8th wedding anniversary, October 11th. And so I'm working on it. So pray for me in that area. But if you're here today and you are not saved, we want to make sure that you are. Let's pray right now. Lord God, we praise you, we bless you, we exalt you, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus, Lord. We have heard the good news that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Lord God, we ask that you save us right now, Lord. We need to be saved, Lord. We heard that you can save a wretch from the guttermost even to the uttermost. And so, Lord God, right now we trust and believe that you raised Jesus out of the grave after 3 days and nights and showed him alive before many witnesses in order that we might know that we have a right to the tree of life. And so, Father, save us right now, right where we're standing, Lord God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. You said the Holy Spirit will be given to everyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we trust in him and him alone. Bless our homes, our lives, our families. Help us, God, to make better decisions, Father. Bless us as we go out into the world that we might help others to understand this good news. Because this is truly the best news in the world, that you gave your son for wrecks like me. Save us today, Lord God. Cleanse us, oh God. Wash our minds, our hearts, and our lives, and help us to be better men and women. Put a song in our hearts, Lord, that prescription for peace, that we can just bless your name as we go along. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And right now we declare this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go ahead and give God your best hand praise. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you are looking for a church home, I'm going to add this as we have concluded. If you're looking for a church home, we would love to be your church family. Amen. That's why we had this service today. And we're hoping that you will come and be a part of what we're doing. We're only at the beginning. We've been here for a while working on some things. The church has been here 40-some years, I think, altogether. It has almost 50 years. 50 years, I think it is. And so we're working on expanding ourselves out. We want to be one of the most active churches in this area. And so we're going to need your help. There's a place for you right here for a church home in St. Timothy. There's ministries that are yet to be born that God has called you for. And if you're here and that's you, we want you to connect with us so that we can try to help you with your gifts and the calling God has on your life. Amen. So if you're here today, let us know that. But right now, if we see that there are none, but yet there is room. So let us, as we're standing, go ahead and say a blessing for the food and all that type of thing. Father God, we praise you. We bless you. We exalt your name, Father. We thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you that you raised him out of the dead so that even death shouldn't trouble us. Whether someone else we love or our own selves, Lord God, death is not a problem anymore, Lord God, because Jesus has defeated death, hell, the grave, and the devil, and he did it for me. Bless the food today, Lord God. Bless the hands that prepared it. Bless all those that have been here working side by side, and our friends and our family, Lord God. And bless all the visitors and everyone who came to be with us today. And Father, we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. We ask all this in the matchless name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Savior, Christ the Savior. It's in his name we pray, and the whole church said together, amen. 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 Give your neighbor a hug and a handshake. Amen. Amen. Amen.